Hey everybody, welcome back to Highly Unlikely with Josh and Janae.
We are here.
We are here and we're ready for it. We have some great stuff planned for today. Great conversation, which ironically we picked this topic and then in the meeting I was in right before this, somebody asked me
about
this conversation. And that's so cool. We're going to spend some time on it today.
There we go.
So, but before we do,
wondering if we need to get fresh
or finding.
Should we come? I thought of this. If we released highly unlikely conversation cards,
ooh,
like a little pack that people could buy.
That's a great idea.
Or we just give it for free, I guess, because it's just conversation cards. But
I love that idea.
I think it'd be fun.
Okay. What is your favorite quote right now? I was actually thinking about this the other day.
If it's a quote, does it have to be so-and-so said this?
Can we just take off the right now and just say what's your favorite quote?
Yeah, that's fine. I have different categories of life. I'm like, yeah. I have my motherhood quotes. I have work quotes, like ministry quotes.
There's one quote that I really love, but it's too long, and I don't think I can say the whole thing, but for expediency's sake, one of my favorite quotes is C.S. Lewis, which is, "Courage, dear heart."
That's it?
That's it.
I feel like Jesus said something very similar to that.
In the words of Jesus, give me liberty or give me death.
I'm trying to find mine, obviously. Because I'm like, is it?
People say Jesus said.
Right. Is it not your favorite quote if you can't recite it from heart?
I don't think that's true. I think you can look it up.
Who wrote the quote that's on the back wall leading to the stage?
Ooh, Oswald Chambers. Naomi?
No, I'm looking it up.
What a...
Here it is. So, yes.
What an astonishment it will be.
Wait, I need to give the context,
please.
Okay,
go ahead.
Okay. This quote is a favorite because we put it on the back wall. There's like a hallway that leads to stage. And we just saw like, what do we want to read? What do we want to like see? Last, anyone, worship team, anyone before they go on platform from backstage. And so it's on the wall and it's Oswald Chambers quote. And it says, what an astonishment it will be to find when the veil is lifted, the souls that have been reaped by you simply because you had been in the habit of taking orders from Jesus Christ. Doesn't that give you chills?
Mm-hmm. It is
the
awesome.
Souls that have been reaped by you simply because you had been in the habit of taking orders from Jesus Christ. Oswald Chambers, what is his thing? My utmost for his highest.
Yeah.
That it's good, like a devotional little thing. Or he has
that is
a book.
Actually
he's it's great.
One of my favorite quotes from him is it's easier to be excessively fanatic than it is to be consistently faithful.
Yes.
And I love that. Can I give another funny one? It's not actually funny, but this is just indicative of who I am. But one of my favorite quotes is from Ronald Reagan,
We should do an episode on politics because you know a lot and I know nothing.
Well, even on current events.
Current events, sure.
The funny quote is that I read a book about when the near assassination of Ronald Reagan, and it's one of my favorite books because like he had heroic people around him. So he gets shot. He almost dies. He gets up and walks into the hospital, even though he's like gray, like he's passing away almost. But he felt like the president had to walk into the hospital.
Like he didn't want to be carried in and look weak. Wow.
And so it's this crazy story. He goes into the surgery. The guy who operates on him felt like he had been born to do what he did because God had a specific purpose for his life. And then he's operating on Reagan. He survives. He's giving a speech like a certain amount of time later and a balloon pops in the audience. And it was kind of loud. And people are still like kind of jarred from what had happened. And he just goes, "Miss me." And I was
Stop it.
Just that humor. And
to
like,
not actually react and duck and just literally look and say, "Miss me."
Yeah, but just the irony of that humor is great.
Oh my goodness. So. Sorry, I was distracted a little bit and I had to look up like Oswald Chambers and his words and how long they've lasted. And he passed away in 1917.
Well, the book is old. It's been like redone many times.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Okay. What are we talking about today?
Okay. What we're going to talk about today, this is a little bit of like a personal one. And like, I would call this a closer look with Josh and Janae.
I think too, when we sit with our team and we kind of talk about like, oh, podcasts and planning, and we kind of look to the team. Our staff team has submitted some really great episode ideas, topics, things like
questions,
that.
And
we want to work towards that and do the preparing for them.
Yeah.
But even this last week, it was like, what do you guys think? And Josh's assistant, Naomi, was so kind to like remind us of even like the reason why we started this podcast. Because here at Evangel, just us as people. There needs to be like a purpose, right? To why you're doing something, or to exert energy on it. And the purpose when we originally started was like, and still is true today, where we were like, this is for the people of our church, because we were getting so many requests to like get coffee with people or meet with people. Mm-hmm. And like, we wish we could, like, we really wish we could, but we can't. Like, even the topic that we're going to talk about today of like working with your spouse and our perception and experience from working at a very high level together and how we do that, navigate that, that probably wouldn't work if we were taking all the meetings that we were asked. Right. So it's kind of that like closer look, and this is just more of just us, and this is just who we really are. We have people in the room to vouch for it. If we're not being ourselves, we should give them an air horn.
Yeah.
If we're not being ourselves, they can honk at us.
So I think before we like introduce the topic, the beginning of the story.
Sorry, I kind of said it.
You kind of said it, but the beginning of the story is that Janae and I, when we met, we were on very different paths of life. Like we were on the same path in that we were serving Jesus.
What we would have projected as our own trajectories would have been very different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the dreams and the plans that we had. And Janae was not planning on getting swept off her feet at that point in her life.
No, I was pretty convinced no one could do that.
Yeah.
I was firmly planted to the ground.
Yeah. And she was going to be like a traveling PT, physical therapist, and pay off her student loans and kind of just
live the life, man.
Be that free, independent woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't need no man. She had can I talk
about
it?
Can say it. It's fine.
I used to say that Janae had a little inner feminist that would come
out. Well, I did. I had a feminist phase. It was all out of brokenness. Golly, we should do an episode on that.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
I was like, we don't need, it's totally the movement now.
Because even what we're going to explain about how we function in our lives is so different than you at your peak of that phase.
Oh, for real. You know? Well, it's all outside of the redemptive grace of Jesus, right? It would have been that. It's so interesting because me and some girls, this will just be a tangent episode, okay? We were talking about, it was boutique meeting for conference. And we were kind of looking at stuff and it was like, oh yeah, this brand Taylor Swift used. I said, that doesn't really make me want to do it more. I'm not a huge fan, not super in agreement with a lot of things. And then we had this discussion.
Our daughter informed me this morning that she's going to have her birthday party and that we need to invite Taylor Swift, which I don't think I knew our daughter knew who
if
Taylor
she
Swift
came,
was.
We would love her like Jesus, and she would be exposed to the gospel in some form.
And she's dead serious. I was like, oh, you want us to invite Taylor Swift to your birthday? And she was like, yeah.
I'm going to do an experiment, and I'm going to print faces of people, including my face, and say, which one is Taylor Swift, Lily? She would not know.
That's true.
She would have no idea.
It's so funny how at school, whoever the kids are talking about, like Avery.
And they couldn't pick them out of a lineup. They have no idea. It's just so funny.
Yeah. Anyways.
Yes. But so we just had this big conversation and different things about that. But why were we talking about Taylor Swift? How did we get there? Oh, but someone said, I just don't appreciate how it's like, I get women empowerment and I'm with that. And I believe in that. Yes. We kind of can take it too far to the point of like, you have to degrade men at the expense of women. I was like, I would agree. But yes, I had a season of life like that where I would have been like, yeah, I am all with you, Taylor Swift. Feminism, yes, which I don't even think I knew what that meant. I was just hurt, had been hurt by men, and was bitter. And the Lord had to heal that. But you can tell you're part of the story.
Every once in a while, that part of Janae would rear its head.
Yep.
And I specifically
remember. We named that part of me.
Yes, I remember walking around the golf course one time and you made a comment and I was like, okay, Olga. Like, so that's Janae's.
So when Olga tries to crawl back out, it's just like whack-a-mole.
I think
Olga.
Whacking
Olga.
Yeah, it was back then. It's like.
But I just remember Josh opened a door for me when we were first dating and I kind of tensed up of like, I don't need you to do mm-hmm. that for me, you know? Mm-hmm. But I was like, thanks. And you were like, you kind of were like, get in. Yep, yeah, get over it.
Shut up and get in, Olga.
He didn't say it that way, but it's like, you have to be the right person to not. It's funny.
It's just funny.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. Yes. Continue
anyway, so on. We were You're on different paths. Job. Janae was going to do PT. I was the young adult pastor at the church.
And it's very highly unlikely, the fact that we ended up together.
Yeah.
And what we're doing.
Yeah. And then, but we did end up together. And then, mm-hmm. you know, through the phase of that, we were trying to pay off student loan debt. And it wasn't even really a possibility for us to work together. And it felt weird because like Janae put all this time into schooling and clinicals and taking her boards while we were together. And and then I was working at the church. And so she was like in that career path. And then we got pregnant after a year. And so all that directing to today where we very much are working together and leading
together.
We were like
12 years from that original point that
over the course
of
12
years.
Time. Yeah. Because I think people could look at us today and be like, oh, this was the plan all along.
Never.
Or, you know, this is what they had framed in their minds. And it really, I think we both wrestled with you leaving physical therapy when that time came.
Yeah, which I still have my license. And so even someone was like, would you ever go back? I'm like, well, if the Lord says it, you do it, right? So I think my philosophy on dreams and like vision and stuff has just changed because. And I felt even just like last week, the Lord reminded me of this in a sweet way because here at Evangel, we've like, I would say in the past 2 years, we've really tried to curate like a house of prayer and people believing God at his word, the word of God, which says that you will see healings. You will see the signs and wonders, the miracles of God, right? And I felt like the Lord had like spoke to me in college when I was in PT school of like what I would do one day. And we just were talking to someone else about this. Like the Lord can speak to you, but we sometimes add on to it. Oftentimes we add on to it or think we have to determine the outcome. And I felt like he spoke to me that I was going to create a place that had physical, spiritual, and emotional healing.
Yeah, right.
And I thought I was going to do a private PT practice. And I still have, in the past however many years, wrestled with like, did I hear God accurately? Because I was very much like, this was going to be my practice. This is what I was going to do. And it was not just going to be like, come to your exercises. No, it's going to be like healing but emotionally and spiritually and all the things. But just, it was actually just the other week. And I was spending time with the Lord and he so sweetly reminded me of that. And was like, you're actually living in that. And that I attached that it was going to be a physical therapy practice, which this is a house of, a place of all those things, right? And we're seeing it and there's testimonies of it, right? So, you know, I took that and I added some things to it. Well, and I think just, it was pure. It wasn't like trying to take, okay, Lord, you said this, I'm gonna try to twist it. But I think we can do that sometimes where I just, even where we've ended up today, it's like, this is what God's asked us to do for right now, we believe, and we are trying to perceive and do.
It's kind of funny because we're kind of trained to like that God is going to speak to us about the long haul, you know, and I always pick on this analogy, but like, I just remember being like at camps and stuff and there's always kids who are like, God called me to be a missionary to Africa today. God called, you know, like, and sometimes that would come to pass and sometimes it wouldn't. But I've just like, even when I read the Bible, I'm like, God's vision for people in the Bible was very much like, here's your daily bread.
For like,
you know, like here's where I'm leading you today. Like Abraham, go do this. Like Moses, go, like I'm revealing myself for you to go do that, you know?
And that doesn't mean you're non-committal. It just means you can't just get set in like, well, this is God said, what God said. So this has to be what it is, right?
Yeah, I think it's just like God sends us in the right direction more than I think he often gives us a picture of what's for sure going to happen in the future. And I think we want that certainty as people, but, and sometimes God does that. Like, I don't want to discount that. That definitely happens. But I think a lot more of like vision and where's my life going is like, how has God been aligning my steps? What does it feel like he's aligning today? And then,
is this in Psalms? It says your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Yeah.
I've just always thought of that so literally, like you're going to illuminate where I should just take my next step, which is so what we've done as a couple, which then led to me, now we're leading together and working together. I never had a desire to work at a church, never thought that'd be a part of my life. I don't know where you want to kind of go with that. But today, really, we're talking about highly unlikely working with your spouse, like, yeah. And what that looks like. And it'll look different for people in different contexts. For you, maybe some things we talk about, it's going to be like, how do I work with my spouse in our home? Like, and just like working alongside one another, mm-hmm. towards a shared goal and vision, yeah. is really the overarching 30,000 foot view, yeah. of what we do. But for us, it just is at home and at work, right?
And I think I would just frame that initially, and I'm talking fresh out of our own struggle. Like, so please don't project that Janae and I have this all figured out and do it perfectly, because there's like constant conversation about these things all the time. But
oh my gosh, yeah.
As I've talked to like people, even like what you're saying with like working together with their spouse or working vocationally with their, mm-hmm. spouse, I think maybe the root word we would both come back to is like, what's the source of your connection to each other? We were, mm-hmm. just talking about that the other day. And it really does come back to connection, because there's a lot of people who work with their spouse on their kids, or they work with their spouse on their finances, or they work with their spouse at work, and that becomes the primary connection. And we fall into, mm-hmm. that at times, and just needing to remember, like, a healthy marriage or relationship is based on emotional, spiritual, physical connection with the other, mm-hmm. person. And so I think that's one of the dynamics we could talk about a lot today would just be, and somebody said it in the room as we were getting started, of like, mm-hmm. man, when does the way that we connect, yeah. as coworkers, when does that end, you know? Or the way that we, right. connect as parents, where does that shift? And,
right.
And then how do you just have connection outside of those things as well, mm-hmm. is a huge part of working together and working with your spouse.
Right. Yeah. Yes. So, I don't know where we want to start. There's so many ways we could go, but maybe explain how we work together. Like,
yeah, well, we're kind of jumping in between like our story and general application for people. So I think we should just share our story and people can like draw application,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
from, right. what we're saying.
1,000%.
So Janae and I started on different paths. We ended up at some point, we pivoted over to where you were. Well, you were always involved.
I started
involved.
Like one day. Yeah, I was always involved. Because no matter what, even if you started what kind of business would you start? A bike rental business. I don't know. We still are just people. And that was us when we got married. We sat down and we're like, what is going to be our family unit? What is going to be our normal? And our normal is that we're a team.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean we have to be 1,000% in one another's stuff, but we're a team. Like, we're going to support each other. We're going to know about each other's lives. Like, when I was
like
at the hospital.
Our lives are really not separate in any way. I would say the biggest way that we battle our lives being separate is sometimes emotionally being separate. But when it comes to like our finances, our work, our, yeah. decisions, mm-hmm. our...
And I've not regretted one bit of that. Like, we can't resonate with people that are like, I never, ever am with my spouse or see my spouse. But that would be true, I think, even if we didn't work together. Because, right. that's just, we set out at the beginning of our family unit that was the priority. And our kids are 8, 6, and 3. And I think we're reaping the benefit of that now. We're like, there's such high trust with our kids. And I'm finally seeing it this year. And yeah, I think that was through a lot of time with them. Yeah, like you said, we're not perfect in this by any means. But with me coming to the church, even like, I just had my 7-year church anniversary. Did you know that?
Happy 7-year church
Thank
anniversary.
You. I wouldn't have known it, but Bamboo told me, which is our HR platform. And really, it was more of just an acknowledgement of what I was already doing, of a lot of things.
Yeah.
And I think it was like one day a week or 2 days a week. And it was like, I feel like I've been this way even since high school, where like I would rather be a great utility knife than like the very specific knife that's only used for one thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I still just in general want to be a person like that. And I feel like that's what it started out like. I remember it's like, hey, we need this. We need Discover revamped. It's like, okay, I'll work with Pastor Nate on that. Like, mm-hmm. we need this. It's like, all right, I'll work on that. I once tried to see if we could implement a daycare here. And that was not going to happen. But so it's like, you can't even really sum up. I just am always like, whatever is the need and a try of like, however I can help. It's a bit more specific now.
Yeah.
But it started off, I think, like one day a week. It was more even too like, wasn't going to go back to the hospital, didn't feel that, but also I felt the Lord tell me that I was going to be the constant or needed to be the constant for our kids in our family dynamic, because there's a kid sick on Sunday. If there's like, Josh isn't going to stay home with the kids. Like, it's mm-hmm. like who that, and that's not because of Josh. That's because of the nature of his job.
Mm-hmm.
Can you even imagine people listening? I'm sorry. I've thought of this. If every week you have to give a huge presentation to thousands of people, like, can you even imagine that? I can't. So I even think of that where I'm like, that's not like a super easy job to just be like, yeah, you fill in if I have this. But Josh is very constant and present with our family. But in regards to that, I just knew I needed flexibility. Like, I just mm-hmm. felt the Lord very much convict me about that, which is true still.
And from my standpoint, I think we were already in this place where it felt like Janae's voice was needed in the church. And then, you know, physical therapy became kind of a secondary thing. And there was almost a guilt of like, oh, should she leave that? Like, she's worked so hard towards that. Like,
mm-hmm.
but then realizing, no, there's specific discernment. There's like, it's very evident when Janae's hand is on something in the church, that there's a different touch to it. And, mm-hmm. Like, I would even go so far as to say there's some things that in a lot of churches, including ours, that need a mom of the house, you know, or need mm-hmm. like a feminine touch because you're appealing to families and you're appealing. And so I think we started to see that with like Unique. I think mm-hmm. we started to see that with, you know, direction and discernment for our staff team and the mm-hmm. culture that we were creating on the staff team and the unity of that team. I think we started to see it, you know, more recently with your voice from the platform
mm-hmm.
and how it rounded out. And now even in like our service structure
mm-hmm.
and how we're seeing God move and work. sorry, somebody flushed the toilet upstairs. And
it sounds like water would spill on our heads, it, but you know, hopefully you guys didn't hear it.
And so I think we just try to follow that of like, okay, where's the mm-hmm. blessing going? You know, or like, right. where is God's leading? And then I think all of you know us well enough to know that neither one of us are the type of people who are like we're achievers and we will go hard,
but
we're not going to, yeah, we're not going to pound down the door to make opportunity for mm-hmm. ourselves. Like we've let mm-hmm. them come to us. And so just mm-hmm. as things changed, Janae allowed herself to be inserted into the places where it was needed. Mm-hmm. Was it bumpy at times, like us working together?
Gosh, we were 25 and 28 when yeah. we started. I just think of when Pastor Alex Seeley was here and she was like, oh my, in her sweet Australian accent, yeah. which I wish I could do, which I can't do
you
one.
Try.
It would be British and that would be probably maybe offensive to her, but where she's like, oh my gosh, if I started a church at 25, I would have murdered someone.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, yeah, I resonate with that. I think I did do really, really stupid things. I mean, I'm still immature. We all are, right? We all have so much maturing to do. So thankfully the Lord has matured a lot in 12 years and his timing's perfect. And
yeah.
I would have been involved in a lot more ways and leading together in a lot more ways. I think if it was just up to Josh, so I think you were just far more like, babe, you should do this and you should do that. And I feel like the first 5 years I did things out of should. And now the last 6 years, I will do what the Lord will ask me to do, right? So
yeah, we've told people like you can
discern.
You can force it and it's not the right thing.
No.
Or you're...
And God will still, in spite of your flesh, you know, like Jesus, like the gospel is powerful. His name is powerful. So I know like for our first women's night, it was like, well, you should, Janae, because like you guys are the leaders. And I was like, okay, I will. And I look back at that, I'm like, God did not ask me to do that
yeah.
there. Like, but the Holy Spirit moves still in spite, right?
Like anytime we've done things out of pressure yeah. or out of desperation, it just hasn't gone well.
Yeah, I would say we're having the most fun we've ever had leading together because I think we're leading out of our most authentic selves, but that's out of our fear of man has died.
Yeah.
Like what people think or say died, and we're just really trying to pursue what the Lord has. I don't know if I've gone also, anywhere where you want to go on this conversation.
Sorry, I think it's also really important like that we don't, like Janae doesn't lead in the church because she's mm-hmm. my wife.
Mm.
You know, like we didn't, that's mm-hmm. not why she's been positioned the way that she has. Like it's because of the leadership needs that we had. And
well, the specific gifting that we feel like God has given me.
Yeah.
I don't have me go on that tangent. You heard me go on it about pastors' wives.
We're just going to riff on this for a little bit because I know
that
maybe—
Where do you see that in scripture, babe?
I just think the people listening might say, you know, I'm not in that position, but I think it does help you understand us and understand our church and even the way that we function. So that's why we're talking
about it. Well, I wonder how many wives even feel that. Like, my value is derived because of what my husband does, or I'm recognized in correlation with my husband, which is a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
I hope some people in ministry are listening to this, because I think it's a huge thing with pastor wives where, and Kay Warren wrote a book, The Sacred Privilege, so good, about the sacred privilege of being a pastor's wife. But the reality that she had this moment of like, if my husband died, would all these people not give a crap anymore about who I am? Is my value in them knowing me and caring about me only tied to my husband? Which, I think a lot of people probably wonder that.
So somebody just asked me this question, and they're like, so tell me about co-pastoring, because like Jenny is co-lead pastor, and they said, because that's kind of a controversial thing. And I said, well, listen, it's controversial if you have a totally different theological standpoint, which that's not the tribe that we're in, like, and not our network of
the churches. The denomination, you mean.
The denomination. Sorry, people at really cool hip churches call it their tribe instead of their denomination these days. But that's not the alignment of our denomination. Mm-hmm. That's not the alignment of any of the churches that we're really in partnership with.
Our denomination, if you did not know, was built on the shoulders of females.
Especially
female missionaries going into inner city New York.
Well, and overseas, like the whole missions movement of the Assemblies of God was single women in their midlife leaving everything and going and to the nations, and it's very accepted. That's the funny thing. And Olga could come out in both of us, because it's super acceptable to people that a woman would teach the Bible or that a woman would go to the nations and be a missionary. But you talk about like a co-lead pastor or a woman leading a church in America and people are like, and part of it is because, okay, if you have a theological beef with that, like, I understand that. That's not our tribe. That's not our denomination. Right. That's not our alignment. The second reason that is controversial is simply because it's not traditional. Mm-hmm. And for me, like, those are the arguments that I hate the most, because I'm like, you are basing what you think about this just based on what a man-made tradition, not like anything else. And if you want to talk about man-made traditions, what is a pastor's wife?
Yeah.
Like, oh, you're the pastor's wife. So you play piano and you teach Sunday school and you run the nursery and you run the women's ministry. I'm like,
I must have missed that spiritual gift in the list of them.
That's not the New Testament. That is a human construct of what the woman who's married to the pastor should be doing.
Do you know what I heard? You might have heard it too. In black churches, where they would refer to the pastor's wife as the first lady. I talk about Pastor Alex a lot. I love her. I don't idolize her. I've had to lay that down, but I do look up to her. But she was just doing Q&A.
I think when we bring up like Pastor Alex and Henry or people like that, I think it's actually a good thing, because it shows people that we're following somebody, you know?
Right. Like, oh, yeah. And if
referencing
if she rebuked me, I'd be like, yes, I receive it. I will change. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Because someone had asked about that. And she's like, actually, I had asked about that and I looked into it. And for like people of color, well, particularly the black community, like, because they didn't have a black president and they didn't have representation in any form of government and leadership, they viewed their pastor as their president and his wife as their first lady. And I was like, that's actually really sweet.
Well, or even going back further to when they couldn't vote and they weren't even allowed
couldn't vote. You're right. So I was like, that's super neat, you know, and what it was birthed out of. I get where you can take that and you can, you know, in any context,
make it
unhealthy, right? So, sorry, this was not supposed to be about just that.
So, but that's a little
bit. How do we work together,
Josh?
That's
a little bit of how we've gotten to where we are.
Right.
We can talk a little bit about how we work together, both in like style, but also in substance of what are our actual jobs.
Right. And I would say to you, just going right back quick to the like co-leading, like co-lead pastoring. That title and that like whatever function is pretty new, but my role definitely didn't change. Like, I'm not doing what I wasn't doing before. And it really was Josh and the board that decided that.
Yeah. Okay. But let me clarify
that.
And came
to me.
Because you say your role didn't change,
but
your title did. So it was not raising your title to a role that you weren't fulfilling. Right. It was raising your title to match the role that you were already fulfilling.
And acknowledging
so when
the
you
role
say your role didn't
doing.
Change.
Yes, that's true. You're right. That's a great clarification. And that was what Josh came to me and he said, hey, the board and I, like, this is what we've talked about. This is what they like feel like we'd be acknowledging and recognizing what you're already doing. Like, would you want to do this? And I had some clarifying questions, right? So again, it was nothing that I wanted because I think that's people have come and asked me, especially in ministry gatherings and stuff. It's like, how did you guys get to this? It's like, I didn't pursue it at all. And if they never would have approached me, I'd still be doing exactly what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And people referring to me as the women's director, and that's fine. Or just call me Janae. That's my name, right? And so, and I would even just say co-leading, particularly in a ministry sense, that is not for everyone. And I've had wives ask me, and I've said, it's not for everyone, and I would not recommend it to everyone. Because that could be bad. It could be very bad.
And even our predecessor did a little bit different, where they were both on staff, mm-hmm. but they had very different roles in the church. You know,
and
that,
marriage probably
that works
looks
for some people.
Different than ours too, even in their functioning of it, right? Like, mm-hmm. like Josh loves to come and be like, Janae, I need to talk through this with you. I need, okay, what should I, like, we're just very collaborative in nature. It's so funny because if I worked with you and I wasn't married to you, you'd probably drive me bananas. Mm-hmm. But since I know the inner workings of your mind, oops, and I've had to figure out how to communicate with you because I'm married to you, I think that's why it works.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Well, because you would lead differently. And you do lead differently
do
where
lead,
you lead.
We do lead very differently.
I'm far more collaborative and you're much more direct and here's where we're going.
Far more people probably wouldn't like us or have left the church because I would be not be as soft and tender in a conversation.
I don't think that's a fair assessment.
The Lord has definitely brought me a long way, but I will say it how it is, you know? Yes.
Yeah.
But okay. But into the other things. How many minutes do we have left? 10?
So
15?
Many.
Oh.
So can we talk about just practically like what our lives look like?
What does our lives look like?
Our jobs?
Yeah.
And because I think some
people— Because Josh, really, what do you do all week, really? I mean, all you do is a message.
You know what? People have been gracious. They don't say that as much anymore, but—
They don't.
I actually think if many of you knew how many staff we have— And you would ask, like, wow, what do that many people do? But there is so much to the iceberg underneath the surface that
anyone
happens
that's
in the life
joined
of our
in a high level on teams in the church, not even just the staff team, they're usually shocked at mm-hmm. the amount of detail. And people love to come and say, like, gosh, I love the culture you've created here. I love this. And we were just talking to someone that had been here 6 years ago and then came back and like, it's crazy to see like the culture shifts and so many of these things. And then we were talking about it where sometimes you can love that and maybe not down to the nitty gritty of it, love the way we've accomplished it because it's been mm-hmm. very meticulous and like purposeful and meetings and like strategy and vision and it's clear and we're on the same page, which takes a lot of work. It doesn't just happen.
Yeah.
So yes. The slides on Sundays don't just run themselves.
Yeah, right.
And you're thankful for people who program the lights so it doesn't blind you. Mm-hmm. All those things that you just, it just happens, right?
Right.
But do you want to start?
I think this week has been a good example of every muscle of my job description being flexed a little bit because—
What's that?
Well, I'm just thinking like this week—
yes.
I've met with people from the church. I led an annual business meeting. I led a board meeting. We're doing podcasts where we're trying to relationally connect to our church and let them hear our heart more.
We did an interview with someone on—
We did an interview with
one of the nights.
Staff member. There's a lot of content. So I'm writing my Easter message, my Palm Sunday message, highly unlikely podcast content, mm-hmm. heart and soul content for mm-hmm. when we launch that. So there's a ton of content that's happening.
Content and then, takes a while.
And then all the approvals for the arena—
Yeah.
Have been coming down this week for all the merch,
Shout
all
out
the
to
signage.
Arena coming on March 3rd.
Arenamen.org. So I feel like this has been a good week of kind of, and then I have one-on-one meetings.
And then we have a team night, pastoral team night on Thursday to try to get all our pastors together, do like health, kind of a health check-in, see how they're doing.
Yeah, because we've just found our pastors are better and we're not just working together, but we're connecting and having food and having fun and having heartfelt conversation.
Mm-hmm. So much of ministry.
And we're bringing our kids to Connect Group. And I had Connect Group Tuesday morning.
You had Connect Group. I had Connect Group Sunday night.
Yeah.
This actually is an abnormally busy week. If our weeks were like this every week, we would already be done.
Yeah.
Like, we'd be like, bye. So some weeks are busy and some weeks are not, right?
Yeah.
So but that's a great snippet of what it looks like.
Yeah.
And some of this stuff is newer, but Josh and I lead together out of our office is LPO, which is lead pastor's office. And
yeah.
Yeah.
So one clarification, because people often will ask to meet with me, you know, yeah. And sometimes if they can't get in to meet with me right away, they're super gracious. Sometimes people are frustrated, but I literally have 2 30-minute slots a week that are not meetings that are already planned or in mm-hmm. my rhythm or me setting aside time to write the content that right. I need for a weekend. And so sometimes when people call, it's like, yes, I can meet, but it's going to be 3 weeks out because I only have
months,
a limited amount of time. Yeah, or months. And honestly, it's like our number one obligation is to our staff team. Mm-hmm. And we have a great staff team that can meet with people from the church much more quickly than we can.
I think we talked about this on another
but just to reiterate that
thing of like, even we could meet with a bunch of people, but we are not the experts in every area.
I think when I meet with people, I'm like, I'm not even the best person for you to talk to.
And I think people could maybe not truly believe that, but it's like, no, you're still going to get passed off to. Yeah, it's just interesting.
Honestly, my anointing to preach is different than Pastor Sam's anointing to meet with somebody, love them, follow up with them, and be a part of their life. Like,
right.
And he does that so much better than I do.
He's such a pastoring gift.
Yeah.
So like what we've had to navigate working together is like we're married. So we can have a conflict at home, but when we get here, we are working. And there have been moments where I am like, I am so ticked at Josh, but I don't get to be disrespectful.
Vice versa. There have been podcasts where we've sat down to record and been like, okay, we got to power through.
So then that is where it could get there. What we're doing is such a tightrope walk because you can go real unhealthy real fast, which is where we've chosen to be authentic. We have brought certain people into our lives because I see it. I mean, you see this, the things people outed for whatever in ministry. And I'm like, I get where you get there.
Right.
Because all it starts with is hiding one thing or faking one thing or, and so even like with that, sorry, you said something that made me think about that. Oh, podcasts. So we talk about like, we're not shiny people. We're not going to be fake people. I'm also not going to bring my baggage into work and be emotional or moody and there are some days. And if that's the day, then it's like, I got to take time and go home or I'm going to work from home because it's not beneficial to the culture here. Right. This is just a prime example. We have our season just like anyone else where like, maybe we're not on the same page. I'll say it's not that we're not on the same page. We're not even reading the same book right now.
Right.
it's not about the same page. We're maybe different chapters. Sometimes it's different books.
Mm-hmm.
And so we led an all staff. Like those are probably my favorite moments now are leading all staff in staff chapel because it's like our whole team together, all campuses represented. And that happens once a month for all staff and once a month for staff chapel. And we were leading one and they're just so like, It is a tightrope. It's this walk because I was frustrated with Josh because he wasn't taking the time to sit down and prep with me. So I was prepped, but he wasn't prepped. But then we did a Q&A time and I was giving some answers for Q&A that I could tell Josh was irritated by. And so I was like, crap, what did I do wrong?
Mm-hmm.
But then I kind of just got quiet. I felt like maybe I said some things. I felt like Josh said some things that were rude. in how we handle it. And you felt like I was being a little disrespectful.
We got offended at each other halfway through the conversation, I think.
And so then after we were talking about it right after, and I was just like, this is not okay. Like what? And then I didn't realize, I was shocked that you were feeling as disrespectful. And I think you were shocked that I thought the thing was mean. And
I mean, yes, this is where we're human. Cause it was like, why did you treat me that way? Well, why did you say this and this? And,
right. You know. So then we had the conversation. And then I immediately was like, gosh, if that's what I projected to the team, that's not right.
Yeah.
And so I went and sat in my office. And this was not in any way of like, I mean, this was truly repentant where I like, we have a Slack. It's like MSN Messenger for professionals now. And to the all staff, I just Slacked and just said, hey, like, if I came across at all in the Q&A time as disrespectful towards Josh or like Dan or this sort of a thing.
Anybody
or
people else making handling this one decision.
These decisions. Yeah. That definitely wasn't my heart. And like, you know, we're not perfect leaders, da-da-da, or something. And the amount of people, like even friends, like I think my friend Alicia, she texted me and was like, I didn't sense that at all. And trust that if I ever did, I'd come and approach you. And the general census was people are like, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. And so then we were like, oh gosh, okay. So we were feeling that, but I always want to be sure that it's not projected, right? So even if we feel it, we got to deal with it.
What would be worse if they were all feeling it and we never acknowledged it?
And we didn't acknowledge it, right?
Like, oh, what's going on?
So I'd rather acknowledge, repent, right? If you're out of line. So I feel like that's the balance, right? So that is probably the most, that's only really happened once, yeah. right? So I'm like, once in 7 years, not too bad.
Yeah.
Not too bad. But we just had a date morning, the other morning, and we were talking about like, we can't. I just said, like, we got to shut off work talk at home. Like, we really do. And we're just, it's just creeping in too much. Like, we do. And I don't even think Josh was aware of this.
Which this is what I was trying to say at the beginning is, like, connection is such an important part of marriage. And you're going to connect over something. A lot of people just end up connecting over their kids. And then when the kids are gone, they aren't connected anymore.
Exactly.
Janae and I can connect over work and realize, like Janae said to me, I think we're talking about work a lot because we don't want to talk about some of the other things we need to talk about.
Right. And you're talking about good things and fruitful things.
Yeah, but
and
you're
things
choosing
that need,
to connect yes, over what you don't actually
you're choosing.
Need
That's
to be
so
the,
right.
the center of your connection.
Yes. And so literally we get done both saying, yes, we need to not. And the next breath, and I'm going to use a different name. The next breath, Josh just goes, oh, I just can't stop thinking about Sarah. And I knew who he was talking about because it's a sweet, sweet person, older person from our church.
A really difficult thing.
Who had had a big health thing, was in the hospital. And we've been praying for them and like trying to get updates and different things. So then right away I go, oh, hey, do you know who had visited her last? What's the update? And then I said, and that right there, Josh, that is what is hard.
Yeah.
How? Because for us,
because I was more just trying to confess, like, I know we're not talking about work, but this is just like flooding my mind.
1,000%. So I said, how do you shut that off? To shut that off, you have to callous your heart.
Yeah.
And so we're trying, and even now defining like, what are the work things, like truly work, like this meeting or this decision or blah, blah, blah. And then the care of people, which is like the Great Commission, right? I mean, discipling people, but caring for them and you can't separate that. So,
but I think we've also learned to be honest of like, there's been times where it's like, hey, we're just going to talk about this because it's on both of our minds, you know, or other times where somebody will bring something up and the other person will go, I do not want to talk about work right now, you know, or I can't.
Like, I think we've gotten better about that. Like, I actually can't rehash this or just, like, I can't talk about this right now.
And if somebody draws that boundary and we're at home, it's like, okay, conversation
yeah, we respect
over,
it.
You know,
mm-hmm. yep.
which I think is really important.
Yeah. What other things? What other things, Josh?
I think you should tell people like what role you play at the church right now. Like,
man, it's still a little utility knife, isn't it?
But here was my big thing, and what I mean about raising Janae's title to the level of her role was Janae was leading our staff and leading our church in ways that I think everybody recognized, but then she would get up and she would say, I'm the Evangel Women Director. And it just felt weird and it felt off because I was
or
like...
Or say, yeah, Pastor Josh is my husband. And then it goes in violation of what we believe is that yeah, you're defined and, by your spouse.
And I would just cringe over that because I was like, all the staff knows, like, Janae's going to lead the all staff meeting, you know, or she's going to lead this other thing. And it's not as the Evangel Women Director, like she's leading the church with me. And
well, you would stand before the staff and say, Janae and I are equal voice. If she catches something,
yeah.
if she says this.
Because staff, I mean, even like with people, they'd be like, well, Janae said this, but is that what Josh really thinks? And I'm like, we literally share a bed. Like if Janae is saying okay. it, there's a really good chance that.
And this is where I say it's not for everyone. Because some people, your husband, if you're working with them,
yeah.
they'd say that once. And you're like, well, then anything I say. So I will do unity tests.
That's actually really true because there are people yes. who abuse that or leaders
oh
who abuse that.
Yes.
But we try to, like, you'll check with me and say, hey,
or
I responded
say,
this way about something.
Yes.
I want to make sure we're in alignment.
Or I'll just say the blah, blah, blah. I'll bring something up that maybe someone had brought to me and I'll say, like, what would be your answer on that? And he'd give it. And I said, okay, great. That is exactly what I said or what I thought. And so that for me is like unity checks. Like, no, we're still in alignment. I still, because sometimes, yeah, things change and yeah, different things like that. Well, and even just pastoring people like yesterday. And it's such a gift in ministry to work together because, and I, this is what I love about you is you, I just think of like, Josh has female staff. We have a lot of female staff, but certain female staff that report to him. And even in one-on-one, usually it's just like work stuff, but you know, we value checking in with our team. Like, how are you doing? Things like that. Soul, heart type stuff. But I just love that. Like if it ever goes like someone starts crying or starts opening up, like, well, I'm really walking through this maybe with my spouse or with something. He's so quick to just call me in and be like, hey, can you sit in on this? It's just healthier. It's not because it's this, ooh, big temptation trap. No, but you just got to be wise. I just think of Billy Graham, man, like what a pure ministry he had. And he had a lot of safeguards in place like that, mm-hmm. In order to just like honor the Lord with his ministry and his life, right? Yep. So that's a great bonus for us in different things.
And
so.
I mean, we can close this down, but I would just say to the church and to anybody listening, like, if you're getting me as a leader or me in a conversation, hopefully that's something good. But if you get me and Janae leading together or you get me and Janae in a conversation, it's just way better because mm-hmm. I process better when Janae is in the room. Like we balance each other and give better feedback when we're both in the room. So I've just recognized that it is, we did it yesterday. We sat in a meeting together with somebody and I'm like,
I did not plan to be in it. Yeah.
But I'm like, they got way better feedback because both mm-hmm. of us were there and our church has led way more effectively. Mm-hmm. Is it clunkier sometimes? And you know, do we bump into each other? For sure. Mm-hmm. You know, does the staff need clarity sometimes? For sure. But it's way better overall than it would be.
Last thing I think the last thing I will add is even in that, like Josh is the lead pastor. Mm-hmm. It's not like, ooh, Josh is the co-lead pastor and I'm co-lead pastor. No, it's like he's the pilot and I'm the co-pilot, right? Which I think we were just talking about it like in the biblical sense of like, Adam and Eve and like the helpmate. I said to him, that's so much what I feel is like, if you died, I would not be like, yes, it's supposed to be me. No, mm-hmm. like this and what we're doing is specifically tied to you leading this church. And even like when it comes to the board, like Josh is the chair of the board. We're not co-chairing mm-hmm. that. Like, and I'm so grateful that Josh is the leader. I'm so grateful that he is the one making these decisions.
Yeah.
And I think that's even, I've referenced Alex not like four times in this podcast, but with Pastor Alex, she co-leads with her husband. And from what we've heard, Henry has a similar demeanor and personality to you in regards to like soft, sweet, like just as a person.
More introverted.
Introverted. And I just love that the example that Alex has set is like, she loves how her husband is the leader and loves submitting to him as her leader and as her husband. And I would agree with that so much.
Yeah.
And if I'm in unhealth, I can buck to that out of flesh, right? But, and I think that just needs to be so clear that like at the end of the day, and even if things sometimes aren't going well or feels like it's not gelling, how many times a year do I look at you and I say, if it's not the best thing for me to be here in this capacity, then we need to change that, mm-hmm. right? How many mm-hmm. times a year do I tell you that?
I don't know.
At least twice.
Yeah.
But I think
just holding an open hand,
it has to be right. And that's just in general in life. Don't ever cling to a stinking title or position or authority ever. Mm-hmm. It just will never serve you well.
And we have friends who fully co-pastor, like their role is they're co-pastors together. Yes. They co-lead board meetings, they co-preach, they co.
Yeah.
And we just, when we looked at it, I don't know if that's even what Janae wanted. You know, and when we looked at like what we believe about male headship in the home and feeling unsettled about what that looks like in the mm-hmm. church and then the roles that I fulfill that aren't a part of what Janae is called to, we just said, hey, I'm going to be the lead pastor. Janae is going to be the co-lead pastor in our church that's set up hierarchically that mm-hmm. I'm still first in leading the board and the buck would stop here. Mm-hmm. And we have friends who do it differently. Mm-hmm. We have friends who their wife has no place on the staff team
or doesn't want to be in the loop with stuff in ministry.
Right.
And
or
that's
serves
okay.
in a more subordinate role on the team and it
or
works
is like
for
has
them.
Their own business that they're running. And it's like that's where like, yeah, you have to know what the Lord has called you to in your context and your capacity. And Even for me, I'm not convinced that the Lord's not going to call us to homeschool our kids one day. Mm-hmm. At this point, I'm feeling like it's middle school, but I don't know. And is that something that I'm like, oh, please, yes, Lord, sign me up. But also that too, like our family is always first.
Yeah.
If something happened with our kids, I'd leave my job in a second if that's what I had to do for the sake of our family, right? It's just a job. I mean, it is just a job because the mantle of ministry doesn't, like, it's on you. Like, you're a disciple. You, like, there's a very specific calling in every disciple, no matter where you work, right? Yeah. So, don't know if we got anything out of this that you wanted to, babe. But.
Well, no, I think it's good. I think that's a little bit just to understand us more, how we work together, some of the things that I think are important in working together with your spouse and maintaining connectedness. And so hopefully, if it didn't help you, share it with somebody that it might help, but hopefully it connects with people on some level. So it's fun to just sit and talk about for us.
I think too, like you talked, sorry, a couple last things, which Naomi, maybe we can get this in the show notes, but if in regards to like what Josh said about like our beliefs and different things like that around women in leadership, he preached a beautiful message on it and it was the table series and the title on our YouTube is The Table, The Head of the Table. There's other beautiful resources last summer, but so if you want to check that out, it's great. And we have a lot of positions open on staff. So if you'd like to apply for any of those
and be a part of the party,
be a part of the team,
you can do that.
Just let me know. All right, this is fun. Glad I got to do it with you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you guys for subscribing, sharing, and just being a part of it and listening. This is Highly Unlikely with Josh and Janae. We'll see you next time.